to go borrow a magnifying glass. I left my glasses at home. I could not see. Thank you, Miss Fern. She bought me one, and I left it at home, too. Blurred vision today. Take your Bible and go to 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. And just leave it open. We'll be dealing with the first six verses, Lord willing. The prayer of Hezekiah, and we were supposed to deal with him last week, and I jumped ahead one and thought I had already dealt with this one, but we hadn't, and so we'll go back and pick it up tonight. The prayer of Hezekiah. My daughter walked in from work today, and she said, "Hezekiah, was he a human? Was he a person?" I said, "He was a king, yeah." I thought she would know that, much as she's been in church. But Hezekiah, the prayer of Hezekiah, that's page 137 in your book. And this lesson and message we'll be looking at how God brings answers to prayer in accordance with our asking. And I feel like we've hit on this some already, so I won't labor the point, but I know I've dealt with it personally in this series of we have not because we ask not. All that we're living without because we've simply not asked for it. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so I know everybody look up here for a minute. We all know that, don't we? We all know that. But knowing that and doing that is two different things. Because I guarantee you there's a lot of things this week we haven't asked for that we want and need. And so if we really understand it, we would put it to practice if we really believed it. I believe our belief shapes our behavior. And so if you wake up in the morning and you don't believe you got no money in the bank, you probably ain't going to go spending much or going to look for it. But if you wake up in the morning and you got paid, well, business is picking up and your behavior will change. And so it's the same with what we believe scripturally. So let's look at this and we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. Verse 1, the Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." That's pretty bleak, pretty rough coming from the prophet. Keep in mind, the prophet in these days, I mean, this is Isaiah the prophet. And he said, "You're going to surely die." And if they was wrong in this day, they could be stoned to death for being wrong in their prophecy. And so this wasn't a light thing. He said, "Set your house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, this is Hezekiah praying. He's got the word from the prophet. He's already feeling sick, and he knows his days are numbered. And he went to the Lord and listened to his speech, his prayer. He said, "I beseech thee," or "I beg thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass after afore Isaiah was gone out of into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now, that's all the reading, but that's pretty powerful few verses right there. I mean, the prophet comes and says, you're going to die, you ain't going to live, and before the prophet gets out of the chamber and out of the middle of the temple and the place that they're at, Hezekiah gets down in his prayer closet and bows before the Lord and calls out to the Lord and prays. It ain't a really long prayer, sort of like the prayer of Jabez wasn't long, but it was powerful. And Hezekiah, the king, prays and said, Lord, I've tried to do right. I've tried to live right. I've tried to do right. And he just broke down weeping and said, Lord, if you can spare me and heal me and help me, I sure do need it. And according to what we just read, before the prophet got out of the place, he had to turn around. God sent a word to the prophet and said, turn around and go back and change your prognosis on the king, because he's going to live, and not just live a week or two. I've given 15 years to live. And it's one thing to get healed, but wouldn't you like to know you had 15 years straight from the Lord? I'm giving you 15 years. Well, that'd be wonderful. Especially today, you'd be like, well, COVID what? I don't care about COVID. 15 years this man got. And the truth is, whether COVID is around or whether it was in the day of Hezekiah, if God gives you 15 years, you got 15 years. No matter what disease is running rampant. And if you look at the health and stuff in this day, it wasn't nowhere near what we got today, of life expectancy, etc. And the bottom line, if you are, I said this a few weeks ago, you are invincible until God's done with you. That ought to give you courage, and it ought to put away any fear in you. If you are loved by the Lord and living for the Lord, you cannot die until He's done with you. And that's not something I come up with. I remember being young and hearing Kenneth Wrighton say that as a young man, and it stuck out to me that you are invincible until God's done with you. And that's true. But here, what we're going to focus on just for a few minutes is you get what you ask for. And if you don't ask for much, you won't have much. And I've had new converts say, well, I feel like I'm just asking the Lord too much. He's God. He can handle it. I promise you. You're not going to worry Him or pester Him or run Him out of blessings. Usually the case is we don't have and we're lacking because we simply don't ask. So let's look a little deeper. If... Daggum that bugging me up here. If prayer is not asking and receiving, then it is nothing at all. And boy, that is prayer. It's simply asking and expecting something for what you ask. And as gracious and loving Father, God invites us to make our request known unto Him, to pour out our souls before Him and His throne. He has designed prayer within the framework of asking, seeking, and knocking. And you know the scripture in the Gospels, ask, seek, and it'll be open. Knock, or seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be open. A lot of times I'll ask the Lord something, but I don't seek it. Asking, we can do that passing by. Seeking comes with a little more volume and a little more weight to it, a little more longevity. If you're seeking something, you go to the Lord. One of my children come up and say, Daddy, I need this. I might just keep walking. But if they seek me and they stay on me and follow me around, and they'll usually get it because they're seeking and then knocking. And they will either get blessed out and told to go to bed, but if they come to my bedroom after I'm asleep and they knocking, well, you know the story in the Gospels about the man who somebody needed bread in the middle of the night, and the Bible said because of his importunity, Because he kept on. He was persistent to knock and knock and knock and knock. And I believe Laurel is the most persistent child. She will stand at my door. And usually I've learned through four children, if you'll just let them knock and play sleep, they'll go away after a few knocks. And they'll get the point. My littlest girl, she ain't that way. She will knock. Daddy, you hear me? And I'll say, shh. And it'll go on for 15 minutes. She will not quit knocking until she gets an answer. And sometimes that's how our praying's got to be. If you want it bad enough, you keep asking. You keep seeking. And keep knocking. And that's how God's designed prayer to be. He's designed this prayer with a framework of asking, seeking, and knocking. It is His good pleasure to give good gifts to His children, to bestow upon them the desires of their hearts. Every father, every earthly father wants to be good to their children. If they're worth their salt. A father that don't want to be good to his children is a pretty lousy feller. I want to be good to my children. Sometimes I can't. But if it's within my power, I want to be good to my children. I want them to eat good. I want them to be clothed good. I want them to live in a good house. I want them to have a good life. I want to provide everything I can as a father. And I'm just an earthly father. I'm a sinner. Imagine God, your heavenly Father. The desire of His heart is to please you and to help you and to give you the desires of your heart. That's who we're asking. That's who we're talking to when we pray. And so keep that in mind. Don't feel guilty for asking God. That's your Father. If we have not, it's because we have failed to ask. Asking is the order of His kingdom. It is how the distribution of answers are allocated to His people. This is the fundamental premise to prayer. And that's so true. God set it up to where there's things. Listen, believe this because it's not because I said it, but because God said it. There's things you will not get in life if you don't ask Him for it. And it ain't got to be cars and lands and houses. Not at all. It can be peace. It can be safety. It can be tranquility. It can be anything you imagine. Anything in your wildest dream. The Bible says, what's that verse? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He can do more than we, exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. That's pretty big. I can ask a lot. If you want to come up to me after church and throw your checkbook out, I can ask for a whole lot. Or say, hey, I'll cook whatever you want. I can ask for a lot. Ain't that right, Wanda? Wanda still owes me a meal for fixing her car. But I can ask for a lot, but I can think way bigger than I can ask. I mean, and God's saying, I'll do exceeding abundantly above what you can even think. So, you go home tonight and you figure out in your wildest imagination what all you could have. And then start asking Him for it. So, well, that ain't vain. No, because, hey, He's a good Father. He ain't going to give you what you don't need. And the answer is sometimes no. But I don't get mad at my children, especially my little children. Now, if you've been saved 40 years and you go up and say, Lord, I need $10 million this week. Well, you'd probably be like one of my 17-year-old daughters coming up asking me for something crazy. Like, get out of my face. But if Laurel or even Lolabeth at their young age and they don't know better, come up asking me, Daddy, get me a pink pony. It'll humor me, but I'm not going to get mad at her and say, no, you can get out of my face. I ain't got time for you. No, I will play along and I will because I love her. And God ain't, if you don't know any better, God ain't going to punish you or get mad at you, and He'll let you know. You know the reason my 17-year-old daughters don't ask for pink ponies no more? Because I've let them know. They ain't real. They ain't no such thing. Don't ask me for it. I can't produce it. So I asked. King Hezekiah not only understood this truth, he lived by it. Literally, he lived by it. In life and even in death, he got the death sentence. And he lived by this truth. He went to the Lord and said, Lord, heal me. I'm asking for healing. I'm asking for help. And it delivered him. And so he literally lived by it. He was a faithful king who ruled in Judah, serving the Lord with integrity of heart. Though he was a righteous man, he became extremely sick, sick unto death. Isaiah the prophet visited Hezekiah on the sick bed and told him, set your house in order, you're going to die. And so with those dreaded words of the prophet, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed. And we just read the prayer, but I want to read it again. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. The Lord said, I've heard thy prayer. He heard him and he answered him. And so the book says, great is the mystery of God's providence in terms of answering our prayers. I don't know what God's perfect will is, and anybody that tells you they know God's perfect will for your life, you better run from it. The Lord, and I know some preachers who are bad about this. And I'll give you the inside scoop, but ain't no preacher knows God's perfect will for your life. I'm a preacher, but God ain't giving me an inside scoop to what he's wanting you to do personally. Who you're supposed to marry, what job you're supposed to have. That's nonsense. He's got a relationship with you. He'll tell you that. And he'll use a preacher to keep you in bounds and to show you where you don't need to go and what you don't need to do. But far as specifically, I ain't a pope, and the pope ain't got no power no way. But I'm not God's first to go to for your life. You are. And I shouldn't be the first you go to get to him. Go to him. People, and I have no problem praying for people at all. I want to pray for you and pray with you. But a lot of church and churchy stuff has been set up a lot like the Catholic Church. Listen, a pope has no power. A pope is a sinner who better get saved by the grace of God or he'll die and go to hell. And a preacher too. A preacher has to get saved just like you do. A pope has to get saved just like you do. I have no inside run to God. No, you can ask just as good as I can. You have just as much validity with your Father as I do. He's my Father just like he's your Father. I don't have special precedence in heaven because I got a P beside my name. No, that's ridiculous. We are sons and daughters of God. And if you have the same Father I do, you can get what I can get simply by asking. Hezekiah wasn't a preacher. He was the king. The preacher's the one who come in and told him, hey man, you're going to die. Good thing he didn't go to him for prayer. I mean, he was acting on the last word from God, but Hezekiah went to God and said, Lord, you need to change that word. Please, Lord, change that word and heal me. And the preacher was on his way back to the house thinking, it was a strong message, but I got that burden off my heart. Don't you know that would have been a rough message to go give to the king? Hey, king, good to see you today. You're going to die. That'd been rough. I know what it's like to carry a rough message in that. That's wearisome. And when you get that off of you, it's like, whew, man, the earth is lighter. You can just walk. Like I dumped that on them, and now I'm free. Well, Hezekiah was, Isaiah was probably feeling that way. Like, man, I come in here holding this message, thinking he might kill me for telling him. But now I've given it to him, and I'm headed to the house, free from that message. And the Lord says, I need you to go back and talk to the king. And he didn't know the king. He didn't know the king had went and prayed and all that had got changed. But he went back in there. And when he did, Hezekiah, the king, had already went to God and said, Lord, heal me. And God said, I'll give you 15 more years. But he did use the preacher to go back in there and tell him and assure him. And God will do that now. When you pray and ask for something, If it's to consume it upon your own lust, sometimes God will use his word to correct you and say, hey, that's out of bounds. That's out of line. That's how you learn how to pray and what to pray for. He wasn't selfish in asking that. I believe he was doing a good thing. He said, "Lord, heal me." God did. Great is the mystery of God's providence in terms of answering prayers. Be certain God orders the events of our lives. In Him we live, move, and have our being. However, within the context of His sovereignty, He allows us to ask, and He bids us to ask. And in asking, He answers according to our request. Had not Hezekiah prayed, the prophecy would have come to pass. He would have died. Just like the preacher said, it would have happened. He prayed, he asked, God heard, and God answered. And he got 15 more years. Say, well, 15 more years, that ain't that long. That ain't that big of a deal. If you was going to be dead for tomorrow, 15 years is a pretty big deal. 15 hours is a big deal if you've got the sentence he got. Set your house in order, you're going to die. 15 years, that's like an eternity. Steve was telling me, I think I shared this in one of the other lessons, but Steve Presley told me that his daddy was dying. Wasn't it your daddy or your mom? Your daddy. Tom was got a bad diagnosis of cancer, and Steve got tore up over it. And he went home and he called Betty Lou, wasn't it? Mary Lou, Betty Lou, that's your mama. He called Mary Lou and said, "Oh, I need you to pray." And basically she told him, "You go pray. You go ask." She basically told him what I'm preaching now. She didn't have any extra power than you did. You go pray. You go ask. And so he did. He went in his closet, literally in his closet, broke down before the Lord and called on the Lord and said, "Lord, please give my daddy." And that's what he said. 5 years. Ain't that right? 5 years. You know how long his daddy lived? If he'd asked for 10, it might have got 10. But he asked for 5. And he told me, he said, "Boy, that seemed like a long time when I asked for it." Well, not to limit the Lord. I guarantee you, after this, when the Lord come back, when Isaiah come back and said, "All right, King, you got 15 years," I bet he wish he'd asked for 35 years or longer. It ain't gonna hurt you to go big with God. The least he can do is say no. The least he can say is not that much. No, I won't give you 50. I won't give you 35, but I will give you 25 or 20. That's better than 15, and 15 better than none. And usually what most of us live with is what the doctor ordered. Whatever the doctor prescribed and said, "Hey, you better set your house in order." Well, you don't have to. And I know last week, I believe it was last week, I said, I talked about the person that I know who tells God what he better do and how he better heal. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying at all that we are to demand God do anything. No. I've said it 100 times tonight. Ask. Ain't nothing wrong with asking. Ain't nothing wrong with asking God. If I remember how this went, there's another little phrase like this, but if all you had today was what you thanked Him for yesterday, I know I've said that, but what if all you had today was what you asked for yesterday? How much would you have? I'm saying your prayer life matters. going on a year dealing with teaching on prayer, invested money in books and learning and a lot of time and attention to how to pray and when to pray and what to pray and where to pray. Sing about praying. Practice praying corporately. But I wonder, honestly, is your prayer life changing? Because if you're not praying more, and if you're not taking it and putting it in shoe leather, you can have all of it up here that you want. I can have all of it in my head and have all the knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is taking knowledge and putting it into practice. You're a fool is what you are, and I'm a fool if I know better, and I still don't do it. And I'll tell you the truth. I know better, and I still don't do it enough. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about asking. I know prayer works, and you've been saved long enough, you've been in this church long enough, you've seen prayer answered enough to know it works. I shouldn't be up here having to prime and pump and beg and plead with people to pray. Say amen. That's right. You know better. You know better. You know it works. You've seen it in other people's lives. If you hadn't experienced it for yourself, and most of you have experienced it for yourself, as have I. And this is the sad truth, and I'll just tell it to you in front of God and everybody. I fail at asking. I fail to give time sufficient to asking. I find time to watch the news in the morning. I find time to make my coffee. I find time to study. Why is it so hard to pray? Because the devil hates it, and he knows that's the most powerful tool you have. Praying. Try it. I dare you. Try. Say, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start asking tomorrow. I'm going to start asking in the morning. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to allot some time, and I'm going to start asking for things that I know I need, and my family needs, and my church needs. Some of you are, Lord help me. Some of you have no problem asking what your neighbor feels about the church. Why don't you ask the Lord? If we'd spend as much time just asking the Lord to help our church as we do talking about it, Lord, have mercy, we'd have revival. I challenge you tomorrow, start asking, make time, put your phone aside, cut it off, cut your TV off, cut your tablet off, shoo your kids away, shoo your husband or your wife away, and get alone somewhere and try God. Try Him. Try praying. This is not for me to benefit. This is for you. I'm taking time on purpose to help you. On purpose. If you'll do it and try it. And give it a month. Give it a week. And start praying for things and write them down. And see what He answers. And if He does, and He will, guess how much your faith grows. Guess how powerful your prayer life gets. And when you start asking for the little things, like do this, Lord, and touch this person, and fix this relationship, and that stuff starts happening, you'll start asking for bigger things. And bigger things. And your faith will grow and excel, and it's powerful. Why do you think the devil tries to prevent you so much from doing it? Do you ever get down to pray and your mind just gets bombarded with other thoughts? Other things you should be doing, need to be doing, phone rings, TV. That ain't by accident. That is not by accident. The devil hates your prayer life. He hates it. Nobody with a prayer life is an unsuccessful Christian. Nobody with a sustained prayer life will be an unsuccessful Christian. Because you know what a real prayer life will do? It'll make you keep short accounts with the Lord. Because you can't have a prayer life if you ain't repenting of your sin. Because you can't pray if you regard iniquity in your heart. So daily, it helps you to go back and say, Lord, this is wrong. I was wrong. That's wrong. And I'm willing to repent of it, chunk it, so I can get back in here and talk to you and ask on good ground. That would, if 75% of our church done that, started actually doing that, I promise you, it would send true revival to our church. You would think that a church that's been here 50 plus years, everything I'm preaching now would be so elementary and unneeded. And it is elementary, but it is not unneeded. It's absolutely needed. Peter said, I'm going to stir up your minds. Try to try. It's the picture of almost like taking a fire in a fireplace that's almost died down, the coals are turning gray, and you put a stick in there and you shake that those coals around and you stir it up, stir the flame up, rekindle the fire. And a lot of times in our church, we know better. It used to be blazing hot. It used to be on fire. And over time, I'm talking our prayer life. It's went down to a flicker, barely hot, and even turning gray and dying, getting cold. And I just come out tonight to try to stir it up and say, hey, get back to it. I need you to pray. People say, I need you to pray, preacher. I need you to pray. There's way more of y'all than there are me. And we've already established my prayers don't mean a hill of beans more than yours does. So I'll be glad to pray. But I need you to pray. I can't carry this church on my shoulders. I can't. I need you to get under the load and help me bear the burdens. Amen. Pray the prayers. Pray for the people. And ask the Lord. Lord, we need your blessing. We need your favor. We need your glory in this place. It don't need to be dead and dry. Our children, we can't afford to have a dead church. We can't afford to have a dry church. We need the glory of the Lord. I can't manufacture God's glory. And in any of these churches that are trying to, they're putting on shows, and that ain't accomplishing anything. There is no replacement for the glory of God. And our children need it. Our church needs it. Our marriages need it. And guess who the only person who can give that is? Him. How will he give it when we ask him for it? This is the truth. This is the truth. My children, we can be riding up the road on a long road trip or something, and they'll say, one of them say, Daddy, I'm hungry. I'll say, oh, eat a cracker. Chew your fingernails. Do something. We ain't got time to stop. Then another one chime in, Daddy, me too. And before you know it, all four of them will be singing the same chorus. Daddy, like little chirpy birds. Cheep, 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 cheep. We hungry. Feed me, feed me. Guess what I'll do? I'll finally say, my children's hungry. I'll pull over and feed them. What do you mean by that? I'm saying, God hears me. God hears you, but when we all get to chirping together, asking for the same things, it moves the heart of God. That's why the Bible says where it's two or three gathered. Hey, God, there's power in numbers. There's strength in number. It does matter. It matters. So ask. Ask. I close with this statement from Adoniram Judson. It's a powerful statement. He said, I never prayed sincerely and honestly for anything, but it came. Listen, at some time, no matter how distant the day, somehow in some shape, probably the last I should have devised, it came. Don't get discouraged if you ask in the morning and ain't there by 11. Ask and just trust and believe God's going to answer. And He's going to answer in His time, in His way, and it'll be right. And be okay with the answer. I don't read where Hezekiah looked at God and said, 15 years? What do you mean 15 years? I wanted 30. No, he was happy. And he understood God knew what he was doing. That was gracious for God to give him 15 more years. And whatever God says yes to you with is gracious. And if he says no, it's good because he knows best. Sometimes I have to tell my children no. Sometimes I want to tell them no. Sometimes I wish I told them no. God never does that. He always does right. And so if he says no, know that he didn't make a mistake. It's best. Who's that country singer? They sung that song, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. That ain't true. Some of God's greatest gifts are no. But God answers prayers one way or the other. He answers them. He don't leave you hanging. The only unanswered prayer I know of is a prayer prayed by somebody with sin in their heart. Because he don't hear them. And that's the reason they don't get answered. But if you go to him as a child and you say, Lord, clean my heart. I want to be right. This matters to me. This is important. I need this. I want this. And so whatever I got to do to get it, I'm willing to get my heart right. I'm willing to forgive my brother, my neighbor, my church sister, brother. Whatever it takes for me to be right with you so me and you can talk. I'm willing to do that. And if prayer means anything to you, not being willing to forgive somebody is a big price to pay to give up your prayer life. That's right. Shutting the windows of heaven because you bitter at somebody, that's a big price to pay. There ain't nobody worth that. It don't matter what somebody's done to you. It ain't worth letting the heavens become a brass and a tinkling cymbal. It ain't. So get over it. Get over them and say, Lord, clean my heart up. Fix me so we can talk. And then talk to him. Start the day. If you're going home, going to bed, some of you look like you've drifted to the land of Nod already. So we're going to be done. But start in the morning. Start in the morning. Let's stand. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name again this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your book, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for a man you put in there, God, for us to learn from, Hezekiah, this king. Thank you for answering his prayer. And God, teaching me, Lord, if you'd do it for him, you'd do it for me. And you do it for these. Help us take this to our heart. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right.